I need you to turn to the book of Ruth. I want you to turn to chapter number 2. Well, we got a good study tonight. I'm excited about it. I tell you, when I'm at home meditating and studying over each one of these verses, I tell you, it just really, really is, it just touches my heart when I read some of the things that are in this particular book. It moves me. There are two books in your Bible that are named after women. Esther, a Jewish woman who married a Gentile king, and God uses her in a mighty way to preserve a nation, the nation of Israel. Ruth is a Gentile woman who marries a Jewish man, and God uses her to preserve the promised seed of the Messiah. God works outside your box and my box when he wants to do certain things. About the time you think you got him figured out, and you think you can preach so dogmatically about something, then the Lord will operate outside your outline that you've been teaching. That's just the way he is. But I do appreciate the word of God. Let's pick up in chapter number 2. Boaz has been introduced to us here in chapter number 2. Kinsman to Naomi's husband Elimelech. Okay, you notice in verse number 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Now you got to keep in mind when it says here about a kinsman, this will pay great dividends to us later on in the book about what that means. But also Boaz has a mother that's mentioned in the Word of God, and her name is Rahab. And Rahab is mentioned in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And so when you see this passage here, Brother Lorne, here in verse number 1, it's been about 10 years, over 10 years now, since Elimelech has passed away, and Naomi has made her way back to town. She left with a husband and 2 sons. She comes back with no husband, no sons, and a Moabitish daughter-in-law who stands out because she's going to look different than the Hebrews. Her skin color is going to be a little bit different. Maybe her accent is going to be a little bit different. But she's going to be noticeable that she kind of does not fit in that particular culture. But here they are. And you'll notice the Bible says that Boaz became a mighty man of wealth. I think this is important for us because of this. During those 10 years, what was going on? Why did Elimelech leave town? It was because there was a famine. And so they decide to skip town. Boaz decides to stay in town where he's supposed to be and trust the Lord. And to do this, you have to be a man not moved by circumstances and difficulties and hard times. I'm looking at some men who's been through some difficulties and some women who've been through some difficulties and hard times, and you have remained in your place. God will bless you for that. I think that when he says he's a mighty man, it means he also was a strong man, because if the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? It's small. Adversity tests you. It tests you. It really reveals some things you need to work on. But you know what I appreciate about Boaz is what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said when difficult times come, it requires hard decisions. Hard decisions reveal who and what you trust. Always has, always will. Boaz decided to trust in the Lord. Elimelech decided to trust in the flesh. Jeremiah said that if you'll trust in the Lord, here's what will happen to you. And this happened to Boaz over a period of 10 years. In a time of famine, he actually developed a business and became prosperous. Jeremiah said, he shall be a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. And he said, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, the year of famine, of when it's dry, of when it's tough. Careful means not being full of anxiety and stressed out and making terrible decisions because of it. When you trust in the Lord, it said, shall not be careful in the year of drought. And he said, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So what you see here, Boaz has become a mighty man who has become someone who is producing fruit that other people are eating off of this tree. Literally, they are, aren't they? And some of you, God has blessed, and you've been able for your shadow to cast upon the lives of other people that they can get underneath your shadow and earn some money, maybe increase their health or maybe their family atmosphere. But God's used you because you have trusted the Lord. And so what you see here with Boaz, he is certainly a great man. But I want to say something else about him. The Bible teaches here that I think you'll find as we read through here that he's a man of resource. I think he's a capitalist. He's got some property. He's got some employees. And he's able to hire people, give them a job. And so I guess maybe Elimelech went down to, where'd he go? Moab, to get on their social system and starve to death. You see what I'm saying? And so here he is. He toughs it out. But also he's a man of research. Not just of resource, but research. I agree with the statement that it's a good lawyer, they say, who only asks questions that he already knows the answers to. Amen? And I like to do that sometimes when I'm having to deal with a teenager. I like to be able to ask anybody, really. I like to know the answers before I even ask the questions most of the time so that I'll know if they're telling me the truth. And so what you have here, in verse number 2, you'll find that Ruth went out looking for a job. Okay? That's what she does in verse number 2. And so she's going anywhere that she possibly can to pick up some work to feed her and her mother-in-law. Boaz is an older, wealthy man who also has many damsels and handmaids under the shadow of his wings, there where he takes care of them, that would absolutely love his attention and would love to be his wife and would like to be a part of his wealth. But it seems like that Boaz is not interested in simply just a woman or a beautiful woman, but he's interested in somebody who meets a certain standard that he has in his mind. And so you'll notice he says this in chapter 2 in verse number 11. Notice what he says. This is the reason why I say he did some research. Because when he finds out, he asked his servant in verse 4. Let's back up to verse 4. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now that's a good way to run a business. Show respect. Praise the Lord. You might get some respect back if you own a company and you show some respect for those who work for you. Verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant. Now this is the man that's kind of the overseer. He hires people. That was set over the reapers. He said, whose damsel is this? Now I'm telling you, he knows more than he's telling. Because he's done his research. And he knows a little bit about her, and we find this out a little bit further into the chapter in this day that goes by. He said, whose damsel is this? And of course the servant says, you know, tells who she is. It's the Moabite. She came looking for a job, and so I gave her, you know, at the end of the, if you were on a ladder and each step represented a good job and more pay, she's at the bottom. That's where she's at. And you know what? She's glad to have it. Because she's thinking, I need to earn my way. And even a bad job is better than no job. And so she goes and she asks for, what can I do? Can I find? And she finds her a place. They hire her for the day. And he brags on her in verse number 7. The supervisor does. He said, man, I'll tell you what. She got here in the morning. She worked hard all day. She just stopped long enough to eat a bite, and she's back at it again. Man, I'll tell you what. She has done a good job. Now, I don't know if he's trying to make himself look good in Boaz's sight. But yeah, I don't hire lazy people. Yeah, she's a good worker. Or he's just simply revealing her character and her integrity. I think that's what he's doing. And you'll notice in verse number 8, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. The reason why I know that he knows more than he's letting on. Verse 11, because Bo answered and said unto her, talking about this is his conversation with her, and he says in verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since when? Since the death of thine husband. And now thou hast left thy father and mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come with unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. That his supervisor doesn't know all of that. He has been talking to somebody else. He knows something about this woman. And verse 12 says this. He says, I know this about you. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He knows something about her. Look in chapter 3. Look in verse number 10. He says this. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, chapter 3, verse 10, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Now, let me tell you what he means by this. He's an older, wealthier man. She is a young woman. And a lot of the young men are going to be after her, chasing her. And she has shown no interest in them because she is not interested either in just marrying again and having a man and having a male. And now, she showed great respect to him as her employer. And this is now where she is showing an actual interest in him as a possible husband. That's what he means by this, because he's thinking, she's not going to be interested in me. I'm an older guy. He said, I'm just going to treat her kind for what she's done to my kinfolks, and on it goes. But now she is showing some interest. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter than at the beginning, as much as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. He's noticed that about her. Verse 11. In other words, this is not a desperate widow. She's not ready to sell herself anywhere. And I thank God for that about her. Verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest for all the city. Now look at this. Of my people, doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. He has done his research. He knows a little bit about her. This is not just two people meeting in the night and all of a sudden they fall in love with each other and this is another fairy tale, Disney World, Hallmark movie. You understand? He's done his research. Okay? Now, so let's focus on Ruth for just a moment. Okay? When he says she's a virtuous woman, you got to understand, we're looking back at this thing. And we can see the hand of God. We can see what God is doing long term, prophetically and symbolically in this woman's life and with Boaz. But they didn't know any of that when this was going on. And what you're seeing here now is real life decisions and how that your decisions when you are young can bring great benefits. Even if you have to go through a dark spot to get to where you need to go, man, God's got some great things waiting on you if you'll trust Him. All right, so here's what happens. When He says a virtuous woman, she's a widow, she's had a husband. When she came out of Moab, out of that culture, out of that background, out of that religion, I don't think that she understood what a virtuous woman was. But there was something in her, and then she was attracted to what she saw in Naomi. and then in the God that they presented to her. Another, what can you say about that? Well, it just simply means that there was something about where she came from she was dissatisfied with, and she didn't want to be a part of that, but she didn't know where to go. So she meets somewhere else, and she sees that, and she's determined that to walk toward the light that God is giving her. Can people change, I guess, is my question. You say, oh, man, you don't know who her parents were. Do you realize the family she came out of? She'll never be a good wife. She'll never be any good. Who said so? Why can't God break the chain and you be the link that starts another chain? Why not? Why do you have to put us in a box and say, yeah, but you know where they came from and they're uneducated and they're wicked and their parents are wicked? So what? It doesn't mean that I want to be. It doesn't mean that you want to be. I mean, I grew up with a family of drunkards. I chose, before I got saved, I made the choice, I don't want to be like that. I saw what it does. I know what it does. I can't even stand the smell of it. There's nothing fun and entertaining about being drunk. Hollywood makes it look that way, and Hollywood makes it look like there's no harm being done, but there's always harm being done. Why would God put a drunkard in the lake of fire if it wasn't doing damage to other people's lives? It's not just self-inflicted. But I'm just simply saying, hey, wherever your background is, God can take your life and change it around. I'm telling you what, she made up her mind because she went through a catastrophic event, lost her husband. They had plans, they had dreams. They were gone. Life takes a dramatic turn for a young woman when her husband dies suddenly. Your friend, Brother Brian, Kathleen, your friend in New York, had several children. They were out on the coast swimming. One of the children, I believe it is, got in trouble. Husband jumped in to try to save the child, husband drowned. Her life has been turned upside down because of that. Do you understand that when something like this happens, it is very traumatic? Well, you say, well, she didn't have any children. She had a heart, she had a mind, and she had a desire to go forward, and now it's over as far as she knows. Now she says, well, I'll tell you what, though I may not have him, but I know the God that he talked about, and I know the God that you talk about, Naomi, and I'm not going back where I came from. So she made a choice, chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. She said, your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. And so whatever comes down the road, I'm going to trust the Lord, because I have learned to come underneath his wings to trust him. That's what Boaz said about her. That's her confession of faith. When he talks about her being a virtuous woman, being a virtuous woman and being a virgin are not the same thing. You can be a virgin and be very sensual and seductive and destructive. A virtuous woman is a woman who's made some choices to live godly and righteously and to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. And she has already had one husband. Is it possible for someone to be saved and redeemed and their life change and God take a woman who may not have been a virtuous woman and turn her into a virtuous woman? I believe so. I believe that's the power of the gospel. I believe that's the power of the Word of God, that it can change us all. Can he take a hobo and a bum and a loser and turn him into a good man and a leader and a husband? Absolutely, God can do that. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit a long time ago. You wouldn't be teaching Sunday school if you didn't believe that the Word of God changes people's lives. Would you go to prison and preach to those guys if you didn't believe God could turn their lives around? We believe that. Would you travel around the world passing out tracts if you didn't believe that the Word of God could change men's lives and their destiny? Now here's a man who's looking at a woman, and he says, we've heard about you. A word's getting around about you. Wouldn't it be a blessing if somebody came up to you and said, you know, people talking about you? What is your thought immediately? What are they saying now? You know what they're saying about you? That you're a good woman. That you're a virtuous woman. And a virtuous woman, the Bible says this, when he said that, you know what he's thinking in his mind that we know now? When you find a virtuous woman, they're rare. Their price is far above rubies. And a man's heart can safely trust in her. How about that? She overcame her background and her past, the Moabite culture, because when it talks about a man's heart safely trusting in her, two areas, morally and monetarily. Morally and monetarily. A virtuous woman will not break your heart, and she won't break your bank. Amen, Brother Roger. The Bible says she'll do him good all the days of her life because of her attitude. Do you think that Ruth had a work ethic that was great? I do. Did you know one of the things that stands out about a virtuous woman is her attitude and her work ethic? That the Bible says that she worketh willingly with her hands. Willingly with her hands. That's an attitude. I love that phrase Brother Ed likes to use, and he says, you know, it's hard to push a rope. Hard to push a rope, and it's hard to push somebody that's lazy. It's hard to push somebody that won't do anything. Amen? You don't want to be lazy. You say, oh, I just want Mr. Hanson to come by and notice how pretty I am. Well, he might notice how pretty you are, but he also might notice how lazy you are if he has a chance. And it could be that your beauty may not overcome your laziness. It's possible if he's a hard-working man. You know what stood out about Rebecca? When Abraham's servant was looking for a wife, for who? Isaac. He said, Lord, I'm looking for a working woman. He said, first one that comes up to me and says, let me help me water my camels. Lord, I think that'd be a good thing to test. And sure enough, here comes Rebecca. And by the way, that was gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water out of a well, not out of a pump. And she wanted to do it, willingly did it. That's an attitude. It's an attitude. Does your mama have to push you out of bed every morning? Does she have to roll you out? Does the sun warp your feet? I'm asking for a friend. Do you understand here? This is the kind of woman that she was. She got up early that morning and said, Naomi, look, we got to eat. You're older now. I'm going out there and I'm going to find some work. If I have to work at the very end of the field, I'm going to get us some food. I'm going. And so Naomi couldn't argue against that. So she went out and hoped that she could find her place. By the way, a virtuous woman, her mouth and her spirit stands out. You look in chapter 2, verse number 10, about Ruth. This is when Boaz is interrogating her, you might say, asking her some questions. Verse 10, the Bible says, then she fell on her face. By the way, she falls on her face here after the boss, the owner, tells her that she's definitely been hired and that she definitely has a job, and that he wants her to stay in his field and to be protected by his young men. And verse 10 said, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Now who does that? Who does that? Is there any wife in here that when your husband proposed to you and said, will you marry me, that you're the one who got down on your knees and said, oh, thank you so much for asking me to marry you? I'm just, again, I got a friend that asked me questions. I'm just wondering if you had an answer for him. No. You know what happens today? Nowadays, it's us. Us men. We get on our knee and say, will you marry me? Isn't that true? And here what she says, she fell on her grace, fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace? Now that's an important word in this book when we look at the type this is. I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. She knows who she is and what she is, but her spirit stands out. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And a wise woman knows when to speak, what to say, and how to say it. The Bible says in her tongue is the law of kindness. By the way, the Bible says, you know what? You just go ahead and give the virtuous woman the fruit of her hands. What does that mean? Give her what she deserves because she's worked hard for what she has. Now, there are several conversations recorded here in chapter number 2. And revealing, Naomi talks to Ruth about a job in chapter 2. Boaz talked to his servant about a particular field hand, talking about Ruth. And then Boaz talks to Ruth, said, you got a job, and I want you to stay. And in verse number 8, he gives her a promotion. He offers her protection. And then he's going to give her some provision. Look in chapter 2, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. In other words, we want to hire you right here. You stay right here. Neither go hence, but abide here first by my maidens. I want you to stay by these young women. Why? Because he knows the nature of young men. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirsty, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then you got Ruth's response, her attitude of gratitude, where she falls to the ground and thanks him for his grace toward her. Grace, what's the word for grace? It is something we do not deserve, right? We do not deserve this. But he's telling her it's not just what you've done in the field, but it's how you've treated other people and how you've come to trust God. You know, you can get a job and you can work, but what's going to advance you is going to be your relationship with people on that job and how you treat people that you work with. That's going to help you to advance, not just having a skill, but being able to relate to people and care about people. And she did. And so what you're seeing here is, he says, I've took notice that you have trusted the Lord, and I want you to know that God's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, and I'm going to be your reward. I'm going to bless you and help you. And so in verse number 13, I think her expectations are realistic. And she says this, then said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. She's being thankful. Do you know this? Do you know the humble don't grumble? Look at verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. She knows what she is. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. See, she keeps bringing this up. She says, I know I'm different. I understand that. I accept that. And in my position, I mean, I can't make any requests or any demands. I'm thankful that you've given me a job. And that's the way you ought to think about your salvation. You didn't deserve anything that you got. You ought to praise God for what he's done for you. Now, what you see here is he understands her statement. I think he understands her statement because of who his mother is. She says, I'll be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. His mother was Rahab. Do you know what? If you were to put Rahab in Hebrews 11 yourself and brag on her for what she did, would you have put in there, in Hebrews 11, It says the harlot Rahab. The harlot Rahab. So when Boaz's mother came to town and married his father, and then he was conceived, Rahab was a stranger in the land. She was not like one of the maidens. And other people knew where she had come from. The other soldiers knew where she had come from. And that means that the young men and the boys on the street, they say, that's that boy that's mother was a harlot. He understands the reproach that goes with this. Do you understand? And so he looks at this, and I think it helps him to have some compassion upon this. Some of the pain that you have experienced can make you bitter or it can make you better. She allowed it to make her better. Boaz let it make him better. And so what you have here is he says, look, now when I say that he made some provisions, there's a passage in the Old Testament that a lot of preachers will quote to you when God's given you something, a little extra here and there, just to be a blessing to you. And sometimes God will do that. He'll just drop something in your lap, something you didn't expect. And it's called handfuls on purpose. You ever heard that phrase? Handfuls on purpose. And it's what he says here in verse number 14 in talking to her. And you know what? Again, look at verse 14. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thine morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Now, a lot of young ladies would have sat there and said, he's interested in me. I think I'm going to hang around here. But she ate what she needed to, only what she needed to, and went right back to work. All right? And look in verse number 15. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And verse 16 says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Now here's the promotion. She is going from the bottom of the ladder of where that you were working on the fields, she's going up a few steps. Not only that, but she's not only she doesn't have to work as hard as she normally would have to, because Boaz is saying, you guys leave a little bit more than you normally do so that she can pick it up and it'll be for her and you do what I tell you. Now, what I'm talking about here too, about his protection, he understands the nature of young men. And so he tells these young men a couple of things. She says, basically, I got to go back to work. And so Boaz then has a conversation with the boys while she is not around, the young men. He knows how they can be. And so he tells them a couple of things. For example, chapter 2, verse number 9. He says, you don't touch her. You do not touch her. All right? And then you'll notice in verse number 15, at the end of that verse, he said, reproach her not. Verse 16, end of the verse, rebuke her not. That word reproach, it means to bring shame, an object of scorn, making sly comments about where she came from, what she was. That word rebuke means that you were reprimanding her when you had no authority and you were expressing your disapproval of her being there. He said, I don't want you talking to her like that, and I don't want you touching her if you want to keep your job. He's protecting her. He's giving her handfuls on purpose. He's showing her some extra kindness. He doesn't know exactly where this is going to end up, because later on in the other chapter, you know, when he's taking a nap and she shows up at the foot of his bed, he is shocked that she would be that interested in him as well. So she got a little pushing from her mother-in-law, though. Just want you to know that. Mother-in-law was playing a little matchmaking here in this book. You understand that? So what you're looking at here, though, is how much grace does for the stranger. This is what we're looking at. God has offered to you promotion. God's offered to you protection. God has offered to you provision as his child far more than you deserve. Amen and amen. All right, let's get on with this. Look in verse chapter 2, verse number 17. Now, Ruth's been at work all day. She goes out and gets a job. She goes back to the house just for not to her house, but to where the hands were working and eating lunch. She meets Boaz. Man, things are starting to change quickly in just 24 hours. No, excuse me, in 12 hours or less. So Ruth is done for the day in verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Well, she's been working hard all day. You know what? Because of those handfuls on purpose and because she got that advancement and that promotion, she went out there just to get enough food to eat to bring back to the house, maybe for a day. She's bringing back, and I looked this up, she brought back enough food for about 10 days. About 6 gallons is what that is. That ephah of barley, that's about 6 gallons. That's about 25 to 30 pounds that she was hauling back to the to town. It was a half month's wages. And this was all in one day. And so she comes back to the house, and Ma-in-law said, well, how'd it go today? Naomi is wanting to know here. Look in verse number 18. So she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She said, woo-wee! Wow, man, you hit the jackpot. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. Now, I read that, and I meditated on that. I said, what does that mean? It's kind of scratching my head. Can't scratch too much. And every commentary that I looked up, everybody that I asked, it said that because the stuff that she brought back would have to be processed and cooked and all that. But when she ate lunch, she ate such as was sufficient for her, but she set some aside in her bag, and she brought her mother-in-law back some food that she could eat that night because her mind was always on other people. That makes sense to me. If you don't agree with that, we're good. Amen. But look in verse number 19 again. We got to hurry here. All right. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? What in the world is going on here, dear? Now you got to think now, she's coming back from a famine. The barrel's been low. And it says, where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. And then said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is, now Naomi doesn't know this yet, Boaz. And boy, she said that, man, all of a sudden, she could see the big picture here. Now Naomi's only, I mean, Ruth's only seeing a photograph right here. She's just seeing a picture. Naomi is seeing the big picture. Older women can see the big picture because they've been through life. A mother tries to explain some things to a child because she sees the big picture. Whereas the child only sees right now what happened today. They don't understand the significance of some things that are happening in their lives. But a wise mother does. And so the Bible says here in verse number 20, God gives Naomi and that bitter heart of hers a ray of hope and mercy. Boy, if there's anything that'll help get rid of that root of bitterness, is when God just shines a little bit of hope down in your heart that things could take a turn. Amen? Verse 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left of his kinsmen to the living and to the dead, of his kindness to the living and to the dead. I appreciate Naomi recognizing the hand of God. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Yeah, I know Boaz. I know him. And what you see here then, in verse 21, and Ruth the Moabitess said, not only did I make good money today, but he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. In other words, you've got a job till the harvest is over. Now, this harvest lasted about 3 or 4 months. So she's got a job, and in one day, she made enough money to last them for about 10 days, and now she's got a job that's going to last for about 3 or 4 months. Verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with these maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, let me close with this. You wonder why those verses are in there. That's why I like to go verse by verse, because it's very practical. And you will see some godly wisdom woven in through history that you need in your practical life. She said, I have a job unto harvest, at the end of harvest. And Boaz, I found favor in his sight. And he's offered me his protection and his provision. Naomi recognizes the reality of the danger that she may be in if she doesn't listen to her counsel. And so she tells her that those young men are out there for the perimeter to protect that particular property from any invaders. She says, but you must not hang around those guys. While they may protect the boss's property, they will not protect you personally if one of them finds you alone. When you read through the book of Leviticus, book of Deuteronomy, when you find the circumstances of where there's been rape involved, it's always been in the field. It's always been in the field when the young lady was alone and there was a man. So what does she tell her? Well, again, Naomi sees the big picture. She understands the dangers as older women do. That's why I beg you, young ladies, listen to your mother. Listen to your grandmother. Quit getting your counsel from somebody that's about a year older than you who knows nothing. You say, yeah, but they've been around. They haven't been around. They don't know the consequences of bad decisions yet. And so she says, the young men are on the perimeter, but they are young men. And I know the nature of young men. That's why Boaz said, you don't touch them. You don't touch her. Because there are young men in general, especially on the work site, some will show no respect for who you are or where you came from. They don't care who your parents are. They don't care what your values are. They will show no respect, and some of them will show no restraint. Therefore, you avoid them and you stay by the young maidens. What I appreciate about Ruth, she just had a big day, brought back a bunch of groceries. And here's a broken down widow, her mother-in-law. You know what she does? She humbled herself. She says, I'm going to listen to your counsel, and I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. And God will bless you if you will learn to respect the gray hair and the hoary head, the Bible says, and counsel over practical things about the nature of men and young men and the nature of young women and young ladies. May God help you to do this. And I want to say to our young people, in a world full of Jezebels, be a Ruth. And in a world, to the young men, in a world full of Amnons, be a Boaz. Amen? Show some restraint and some respect to young ladies. That goes for you young men. When you're here at church, you're playing in the gym, these girls are what can I say? They're off limits to you. And vice versa. Amen. I'm not talking about the fact that you can't talk to each other. You understand what I mean. We're talking about inappropriate behavior. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, We ask, God, that you might bless this lesson to our hearts and minds, and Lord, that we would believe it, embrace it, and find hope to help in time of need. That, God, you can turn our circumstances completely around. And Lord, may we desire to have a virtuous heart and a character of gold in our soul like Boaz and like Ruth. Father, we thank you for the good Bible, the Word of God, and the truth in it. In Jesus' name, amen.